I'm Emma Connors and I'm here with Michael Fuller, the Executive Director of the Lowy Institute, and we're here to talk about the US election. Michael, we obviously hear a lot about this presidential race, but there's nothing like being there. You've recently spent some time in the US. Tell us a bit about your impression.
Well, thank you, Emma. I was in Washington and New York last week, and I think it's fair to say the country is in a funk. They are bewildered. At least the opinion-forming class are bewildered as to how it's got to this point. And I think they are just slowly coming to terms with the fact that the presumptive nominee of the party of Lincoln and Reagan and Eisenhower is now the Donald. And it means that they are having to slowly start to take Trump seriously, to think about what the implications for many different aspects of their country's policies and future would be. And it was a really striking contrast for me because I lived in Washington with my family in 2008, 2009. We went over there to watch the epic battle between Obama and the Clintons and then John McCain in the general election. And it's such a contrast because the themes then were hope and change. There was a real sense that good times were coming. And now I think the themes are anger and resentment and retreat and a hope perhaps that America can go back to some mythical time when it was great. The only commonality is that in both 2008 and 2016, Hillary Clinton is the candidate who was thought to be inevitable, but due to her own frailties as well as external circumstances, is finding the weather very heavy.
Do you think, once we get past the Democrat convention, I think, you know, most would agree that Sanders has had a great run, but he won't get over the finishing line, and Clinton will emerge as the Democratic nominee. Do you think the party will unite behind her? They're going to need a very united front to take on the might of the Trump rule.
I think they will, because whatever misgivings Sanders supporters may have about Hillary, they surely pale into insignificance compared to Donald Trump, a crass, awful braggart whose personal behaviour is so far removed from the sort of impeccable behaviour we've come to appreciate from the Obamas, for example. So I think ultimately she will grind out a victory, and eventually most of those people will come on board. But it does point again to her weaknesses as a candidate, that she has been unable to administer the coup de grace against a socialist in his mid-70s who until very recently was not prepared to call himself a Democrat.
That's astonishing. I think perhaps the Bernie Sanders story is one of the most fascinating of them all. I mean, he still seems quite startled that he is where he is, but he's playing hard now.
And I often wonder, what does Elizabeth Warren think about the decisions she's made over the last year? Because you can imagine if Elizabeth Warren, as a liberal heroine, if she had run for president this cycle with many of Bernie's policies in her knapsack, but with gender on her side as opposed to against her, how far could someone like Elizabeth Warren have gone? Politics is so much about timing and having the courage to run even when it doesn't feel like a sure thing.
You don't hold back when you talk about Donald Trump in your opinions, and I'm sure that many of the people you spoke to while you were in Washington and New York in the last month have very similar opinions. Mm-hmm. Do you get a sense now that people are beginning to get a bit more circumspect? He's definitely going to be running for president, and you can't rule him out of actually getting into the Oval Office. Do you think people are being a bit more careful about what they say?
I think so. I mean, first of all, I haven't been circumspect about it because unlike most election campaigns, in most US election campaigns, where I think there have been arguments both ways. In this case, it's really a clear-cut decision. I mean, on the one hand, you have a very experienced, centrist, capable individual, extremely well qualified by historical standards. And on the other case, on the other side, you have somebody who's reckless, who's unpredictable, who's unreliable, and somebody who probably when you push through all that bluster, ironically, doesn't want to make America great again, wants to make America non-great, wants America to shrink, is in favor of retrenchment and retreatment and striking better deals, and when you can't strike a better deal, really looking after America's core interests rather than taking a liberal, broader definition of America's self-interest. So that's why I've been a little bit more out there than I normally am. I think it is the case that now that Trump has gone from one of many Republican candidates to one horse in a two-horse race, I think the same principles that apply to elections everywhere must apply to the United States, that people will really focus on him. They'll run a commander-in-chief ruler over him to see if he's qualified. And I think when you factor that in and various other elements, I still think it's unlikely that Trump will win in November, but it's definitely not impossible.
Given that it's not impossible, during our election campaign, we've had the foreign minister talk in terms of, well, if that happens, we will have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. What would a Trump presidency mean for Australia?
We would be in uncharted waters. Our polling has already shown that, as you know, that half of us, nearly half of Australians would want us to distance ourselves from the United States. So Australians are very anti-Trump, and I think there are good reasons to be that way. He is clearly allergic to alliances. He thinks most of the world are scroungers, and although he hasn't included Australia explicitly in that category, we may well be placed in that category at some point. I've written in the AFR today about his instinctive sympathy for strong men. So, yeah, we would have to deal with it. You would have to hope that the apparatus of power around him would moderate some of those opinions. You'd have to look to the people that he appoints to positions in the foreign policy hierarchy for points of continuity. It is the case that countries do have national interests, and those interests are enduring, and they're at least as important as the personal foibles of whomever holds the top job in terms of determining that country's trajectory. But Trump is really the extreme case, and I think the words President Trump would give pause to many Australians, including many very senior officials and politicians.
It's really interesting, I think, that polling finding, because we've always almost sort of instinctively identified with the US. And I think most Australians would say that they respect the office of the President of the United States. But do you think there is something in that Trump character, you know, in the bellicosity and the crudeness almost of some of his statements that really flies in the face of the Australian character? Can you generalise to that extent, do you think?
Yeah, I don't think his brashness travels well at all, really outside of Manhattan, as far as I can tell. And Australians are sort of a bit more reserved and a bit more modest, a bit more laconic about these sorts of things. But, you know, George W. Bush didn't travel well. Ronald Reagan, in a way, didn't travel well. We forget this now. We put him in the pantheon of good, almost great presidents. But at the time, he was the object of a lot of ridicule everywhere around the world, including in Australia. But still, I do think Trump is different, because for all of Bush's swagger, there was an innate decency to George W. Bush as a person that Trump doesn't have. Both he and Reagan, to quote the other examples that I've cited, had experience as governors. I mean, Mr. Trump would be the least experienced, most appalling candidate for president in modern times. And I think it's a black swan event for us.
Well, we've got about 5 months to go until the election, so perhaps we can sit down again at some point.
Definitely.
And discuss how it's travelling.
And in the meantime, I'll be reading your reports on the American election with interest.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
Cheers.